When I was about 7 or 8, I remember I watched a few hours of TV that day, and my mom came home, later for dinner, and I was kind of having an attitude with her, being sarcastic, kind of being a little bit rude. And I distinctly remember she asked me, "Did you watch Disney Channel today?" And that kind of took me off guard as a, 7, 8-year-old, because I didn't really understand that the things that I watch, the things that I listen to, the things that I surround myself with were forming me whether I liked it or not. And while I didn't think much of it back then, I'm here now thinking about how not just kids are formed by their surroundings, you are formed your entire life. So I remember this quote from the book Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer, where he said, the question isn't, are you being formed? It's what are you being formed into? And so I wanted to talk about today how our environment, our habits, our relationships all form us to be something that we want to be or something that we don't want to be, and we're kind of just conforming to our world. So, welcome to Creating a Life You Love with Adriana, where we talk about how to create a healthy lifestyle centered on God and create a life that you love, whether that's through the hardest moments and through the best times. So, with that being said, I wanted to start with a verse, Romans 12, 2. And that says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So, this is the NLT version, but some other versions say, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be formed or be transformed by God's word. And that's really powerful because when we think of this idea of, a child being formed by what they watch on TV or their friend group and having an attitude because of the things they're surrounding themselves, when we think about that, and then we look at ourselves and we're like, wait, I'm also being formed. Am I being formed into something, like someone like Jesus? Or am I being conformed by the ways of this world to be bitter and angry, have bad habits, have not great relationships? Like, what am I doing? So lately, I have been doing this Bible study course called Practicing the Way. John Mark Comer. I did this book summary a few months ago, but John Mark Comer, he and his team came out with this whole Bible study, and their whole website like lays everything out so well, so nicely. But I've been doing this Bible study for a few weeks with my friends, and one of the things we talked about was how we are formed by this complex web of forces in our daily life, and it's almost like you have to fight against it because if you want to be formed into a loving person, free of anxiety and fear and all of that, you can't let the ways of this world conform you. What are you being formed by? We're going to evaluate those, talk about the different areas, and then talk about what we can do to change that so we're not conforming to the ways of this world that will be bound to make us unhappy, miserable, live in condemnation, insecurities, self-hatred, all the above. So, with that being said, if you want more information on, what I'm talking about, it's laid out in like the fourth week, or no, the third week of this Practicing the Way course. If you just look up Practicing the Way, you can see you can take this free course with community by yourself. Anyway, with that being said, what are we being formed by? There can be many things, but specifically, our habits, our relationships, the stories we believe about ourselves, our environment, and we're being formed, through time by our different experiences. So, most of our formation is unintentional. You think about, me as a child watching Disney Channel, not intending to act like the people on there, but just naturally doing so, because if you spend enough time in that, you're bound to act like that. Now, a little bit of my story. my habits used to consist of, you know, waking up late, scrolling on my phone, seeing what everyone else in the world was doing, you know, watching TV, scrolling on my phone while I was, you know, eating breakfast, then going to school and being undistracted, being very distracted, feeding negative thoughts. I would get home and instead of doing my homework, I would like multitask and watch something on Netflix plus do my homework. I would just spend constantly, you know, multitasking, constantly busy, in a hurry. And since I started growing a relationship with God, I've realized how these habits were negatively affecting me. And even the smallest things, like feeding into a negative thought, if you do that enough, you're going to live in those negative thoughts. So let's first talk about habits. What are your habits? So if you have the chance right now, you can pause this after I, you know, tell you what to write down. But if not, I highly recommend you doing this exercise later. This is what this Bible study course had me do, and it was really helpful. But yeah, your habits. What do your habits consist of? What does your morning routine consist of? Your activities of a typical work day or school day, your evening routine, and then what do you typically do on the weekend? So evaluate all of these things. For instance, if I was to compare my morning routine a few years ago to my morning routine now, there's a stark difference, and it sets my day up for success to do what I'm doing now than what I was doing before. Before, like I said, I would wake up, start scrolling on my phone. I'd wake up late, so I'd be very hurried and rushing out the door, and I wouldn't exercise. I wouldn't read the Bible. I would just constantly be consumed by my thoughts and my phone. Now what I do, I wake up earlier, and I read the Bible, I pray, I spend time unhurried. And then I go to the gym, or I go and take a walk on the beach, or I move my body in some way. And then I go to work and I, you know, get this done by 9 o'clock. Now, this may involve waking up at 5:30, 6, depending on how much time you need. But to me, it's so worth it. So worth it, because I can spend this time in quiet, reflecting on my thoughts in the morning, you know, just doing all of this to set my day off right. And so I would encourage you, go through your morning routine, your activities during the day, your evening routine. Something that I've been working on recently when I did this, you know, formation audit is what you could call it. I noticed that during the day, although I was being productive, I would often get distracted by my thoughts. And, you know, it's just like going around in circles in there sometimes. You'll be trying to work and all of a sudden you'll just have all these thoughts, and it's like, it's kind of stressful, right? I heard this tip from a while ago from someone, and he was saying that anytime you have a thought and you're supposed to like be working, instead of engaging in that thought, just write it down and come back to it later. So for instance, maybe, you know, you're working on something and all of a sudden you have a thought, oh my gosh, I have to call my mom. Or you have a thought, oh, I have to get that present for my friend next week. Or maybe you have a negative thought that's like, oh, I'm not doing enough. I'm, you know, not a good friend. And you have like self-defeating thoughts. So if you're trying to focus on something, what you can do, depending on what thought it is, you write it down. So you could have a little notes tab. You could write it down on a piece of paper. And then you say, okay, I'm going to come back to this later. Now, if it's a really intrusive thought, really like self-condemning or a very negative thought, bring that to the Lord and ask him to just give you strength. And, you know, you can revisit this later when you have more time. But if it's something like, oh, I got to pick up bananas at the store, like just write it down and keep going on with your day. So anyway, that's something that I noticed, even though my, you know, habits during my workday seem pretty good, there's still always something you can be like, being distracted is going to make me unable to focus as well. So I need to get that, you know, under control. And then what you want to ask yourself after you write down these lists of your habits, how do you think these habits are shaping you as a person? Does scrolling on your phone at night, comparing yourself to other people, shape you in a good way or a poor way? I've been off of social media for the past month. And when I got back on, I really had to make sure that I was not comparing myself to other people, other people's lives. And my gosh, social media really can feed this, right? And I hope that I'm never a source of comparison for anyone, but I have needed to limit myself with social media. So when I get home, I put my phone down. I'm not going to go on social media when I get home from work, you know? And so this is just something, setting those boundaries, because your habits are going to shape you in a negative or positive way. Maybe replacing, you know, maybe replacing calling your friend to gossip and rant about your day and about this annoying, you know, patient or whatever, instead opening up your Bible and like speaking to God about it. Like, how are your habits shaping you? Is gossiping and ranting about someone making you a nicer and calmer and more go with the flow person? Or is it making you someone who is bitter and unforgiving? Your habits shape you. And now moving on to the next one, the next thing that we're being formed by, relationships. So what relationships make up the most of your life? You can look at family, friends, work, your community, maybe significant other, your spouse, whoever it may be. You want to look at a few different categories. And I'm just going to get my notes here because I wrote something really interesting. I think it is really sometimes easy to be like, oh, this person is affecting me negatively. This person is. And maybe you really do have people in your life who you may need to spend less time with. I had this one friend. She was so sweet, so kind, but I was very new to my faith when I was spending time with her. And she was doing things that were kind of leading me astray. And I didn't want to be around that. I wanted to change my life. I didn't want to be, you know, in a friendship where it revolved around gossip and boys and drinking. I just didn't want to, you know, be a part of that since I was changing my life around. And so I slowly stopped, you know, talking with her. And then we just kind of drifted apart and, you know, haven't seen each other in a few years. But, you know, it's just something that you have to look at your life. And obviously, you know, your family members, they're kind of stuck with you, but maybe there are some boundaries you can put in place if you have some, you know, negative experiences with your family members. Maybe communication is something you guys need to work on. But what I was saying was, I think it can be easy to sometimes want to like protect your peace and like cut everyone off. I think we kind of live in this generation where it's like, oh, they're toxic, leave, like, I'm just protecting my peace, you know, and that's great and all. But sometimes you're going to be in environments where you need to build the strength to deal with difficult situations. I've noticed, so something that I wrote down in one of these sections, you know, the people in my community and my work, they can shape me in a positive way if I allow them to. I had written down that sometimes I can get a little annoyed by people. I can get a little bit easily agitated, you know, if someone is not understanding something I'm saying and I'm like trying to explain it and like you just keep doing it wrong. Like myself, you know, I can get a little bit easily annoyed. And so I was writing this down and I'm like, well, some people can make me like get easily annoyed. And then I like stopped myself and I was like, wait a minute, don't I have control on how I'm feeling? So I wrote down, I can either choose to be annoyed or to learn to grow my patience. It's really a choice. No one can force me to be annoyed. I have to choose it. And so when you are doing this evaluation and maybe you notice that this person brings up some negative emotions, maybe there is something that they need to do and you need to communicate with them in order for there to be peace and, you know, just a better relationship. But maybe there's also something you can do instead of always thinking like, oh, they're just making me so mad. Why don't you work on your patience with them? That's something that I have to work on, like definitely being more patient with people when I'm teaching something to someone, like patience, you know? And then of course, like your close friends and your, you know, if you're dating someone, if you're married, like those people can have a very strong impact on how your life goes. I think it was Dale Carnegie or someone like that. You are the average of your like five closest friends or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But basically just saying that if you, you know, want to see your future, oh, that's the verse, that's the quote. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. This is something that like so powerful, especially like if you're dating someone and you see that their friends aren't so great, you might want to look at that person and be like, wait a minute, is this person all they say they're cracked up to be, like, if their friends are acting like that, like, I don't know. But anyway, when you do answer, you know, how these relationships are they affecting you, you know, positively, negatively? After you write down how these relationships are in your life, you know, family, friends, work, community, other relationships, you want to ask yourself, how are these people shaping me as a person? Like, what kind of person am I becoming when I'm around this person? What do they draw out in me or suppress in me? So do they draw out, you know, unforgiveness in you? Maybe that's something you need to address. Maybe you need to go to them and forgive them for something they've done. You really just want to ask yourself, all these relationships, how are they affecting me? Especially, like, if you are dating someone, that is a very close relationship. Hopefully you are pursuing that towards marriage, and you want to look at, who am I becoming when I'm spending time with this person? Okay, and now we're moving on to the stories you believe about yourself. Now, what this means is, what are you believing your life to be? One of the stories that I used to believe about myself is that I wasn't pretty enough. No one liked me, and in order to be happy, like, I need to have better looks, etc., all of that. And this story that I believed about my life led me to chase things like looks, you know, validation from other people, and all of that. So the story you believe about your life, about yourself, about other people, about God are so important, because it shapes how you walk in life. It forms you, and, you know, wherever it will point you in whatever direction, whether good or bad. And so you want to ask yourself four questions. Number one, what stories do you believe about God? What is he like or not like towards you? How does he feel towards you? I grew up in a church where I didn't really understand the concept of having a relationship with God. And so when I went out into the world and, you know, was left to make my own decisions of my faith, it wasn't just my parents' faith, I believed God to be this, you know, sovereign thing, sovereign being, but someone who just was angry and punished people. And that's who I viewed him as. And then as I grew in my relationship with God, that shifted, you know. But there's always things you're going to have to work on. Though I love Jesus so much and I read the Bible and I pray and I'm growing my relationship with God, there are some old beliefs that I'm working on getting rid of and I'm giving to the Lord. And then number two, what stories do you believe about yourself? How does God see you? How do others see you? What kind of person are you? What do you see for your future? So if a story you believe about yourself is something like I just said about how, you know, I used to think that if I looked better, you know, then people would like me, right? Now, if I believe that, everything I do in life is going to revolve around my appearance, right? And about getting people to like me. And maybe even performing, maybe I think that performance is going to help God to like me. And I think that I have to perform for him, when really that's not the case at all. God loves us where we are, and then he calls us to him so he can transform us and help us to be more Christ-like. But yeah, ask yourself, you know, what stories are you believing about yourself? Do you believe that no one will ever like you? You'll never get married. You'll never be happy. Like, what is it that you don't believe? What is it that you believe about yourself that's driving you in life to make the decisions that you're making? Number three, what stories do you believe about happiness? Do you believe that money will buy happiness, that looks will buy happiness? That was something that I believed. Now, like, I know that God is the only one who can make you happy. Maybe sometimes you kind of, you know, might shift away from that, and you might subconsciously believe that once you're in a relationship, you'll be happy. So it's just evaluating, like, okay, what am I believing? Like, what is driving me in life? If money drives you in life, then you might work till you are so burnt out and so overwhelmed. So you really want to look at that. And then lastly, what stories do you believe about the meaning of life? What do you think matters most? Your career, family, health, something else? Like, what do you think matters most? And what I believe now of the meaning of life is to glorify God by spreading his word, and to also enjoy that process and find joy in contributing and helping other people. I think most every human being, unless, you know, something is just going on in their heart, loves the feeling of when they contribute to someone's life, when they give something to someone, whether it's a word of encouragement, a present, like something, like giving just feels better than receiving. And obviously it's nice to know people care for you, you know, they get you a little thought or something, but I really think the meaning of life is to contribute and to, you know, just provide a light for other people who are struggling and to go through life together, not to isolate, not to be alone. Obviously, I think, you know, family, health, like very important. But I think if you, you know, have health, you're super healthy, maybe you have family, but you're not contributing to other people, you're not sharing, you know, the hope that is Jesus Christ, life can be a little bit unfulfilling. And I'm not saying that once you believe the meaning of life is to, you know, glorify God, and you might have a specific meaning of life for you and your purpose, but overall, I think it is to glorify God, but not to say that you won't still have down moments. Like just this week, like I've had some down moments where, you know, there were tears. So once you answer these questions about the stories of your life, ask yourself, what are these, you know, are these core stories, how are they forming me as a person? Like, how are they forming me? And then we also talk about environment. So we talked about relationships, right? But now environment, meaning what are the, you know, what is your city like? What is it known for? Is it known for like partying or prioritizing wealth? Like, what is it known for? What is your generation? What are your generation's values? And then your digital algorithm. What are the algorithms feeding you on your social media? What are you consuming? What is like your environment consist of with the shows you watch, the things you listen to? And then to reflect on these, how are you being formed or deformed by the cultural forces that are normal, maybe by your city, your nation, your social media, but possibly far from the vision of Jesus? So to repeat that one more time, I'm just reading this question off of the actual Bible study. How are you being formed or deformed by the cultural forces that are normal, normal with quotation marks, in your social media, city, generation, but possibly far from the vision of Jesus? So something I've been formed by, you know, the place I've been around, the social media, is that I need to constantly be achieving. And while that can be great to achieve things, it can be very burdensome if you are, you know, in this toxic productivity spot where you can never let yourself rest. And so that's something that I've realized. And that is definitely far from the vision of Jesus. He says to rest. He wants us to rest. He wants us to have a Sabbath. He wants us to rest in him. Yes, to work, but not to place your worth in your work and your worth in your achievements. So yeah, and then lastly, the last thing we have is experience. What have your life, what life experiences have shaped you to who you are today? Because clearly there can be traumatic events. There can be, you know, things like bullying or something in your life that created you to be insecure, to hate yourself, to have, you know, something, addictions going on or something like that. You want to ask yourself, what is your family like? You know, what are they, their highest values, deepest dysfunctions? Number two, have you experienced any traumatic events? What has your body wordlessly learned from that trauma? Now, I think something people don't realize is if you suffer from sexual abuse, assault, any sort of trauma like that, emotional trauma, you know, something traumatic where like you're some, you know, natural disaster happened to your home or something, it's stored in your body. And so I've noticed whenever I have anxiety, I have like this feeling right in my stomach, and my chest gets heavy and my stomach kind of drops, and it feels like, oh my gosh, you know, and so you feel this in your body. And I've shared in my testimony video a few episodes back that I did have some trauma in my life of being sexually assaulted, and that definitely has affected me. I can confidently say, like, it affects the way that I had viewed relationships, you know, in a marriage, and it's changed the way I viewed myself, as, you know, it's created a lot of self, you know, condemnation and shame and guilt, and that's not good. So these experiences really do affect you, and you want to bring that to the Lord. And that's what I'm working on now. I've, like I said in my testimony video, I've gone through therapy, done things like that, but I never fully surrendered to the Lord. And something that John Mark Comer, he said, was that, you know, you may never be free from anxiety, from these things, but what you can do is prevent that by living a restful life, an unhurried life, spending time in God's word, praying anytime you feel anxious. Like, you can put these things in place to prevent you from getting to that low, low, low point. And not to say that you won't, you know, just be stuck in the mud sometimes. Maybe God's allowing you to sit in your pain so that you, you know, your eyes are open to something. But anyway, yeah, traumatic events. And then key experiences. If you were telling your testimony to someone, you were telling about your life, what key moments on your timeline of your life have, like, altered the trajectory of your life? Maybe when you got married, maybe when you moved to another city or got out of a relationship. And then going into the fourth one, your spiritual autobiography, what are the key moments of your spiritual journey? Going more in depth on, like, when you found God, maybe when you started going to church, you know, something like that. And then the last thing you want to ask yourself is, how have your experiences formed and deformed you over the years? Where do you still need healing? What do you need to never forget and hold on to? Maybe, like, a really important moment. And then what are you still missing? Maybe you really need to bring these prayerfully to God, the things that you might have experienced in your life, so that you can allow Him to heal you. And that was a lot. Wow. That was quite a bit. If that sounded like it made sense, I really hope it did, because that was quite a lot. But something that I want to say, all of these journaling things are great. Writing about how you're feeling, all these things, this formation audit is great, you know, evaluating the habits in your life, the relationships, all of these things. But also remember, we're not robots. You can't program yourself instantly to never again, you know, be angry. But you can work on bringing it to the Lord. Anytime you feel angry, anytime that habit starts to, you know, start, you can give that to the Lord. So don't be discouraged when you tell yourself, I'm not going to go on my phone at night, and then you do it one time. Don't have to live in condemnation, but these questions are purely to get you to look at your life and see maybe some of the things that you can change, some of the things you can alter, so that you can create a life you love. Like I said at the beginning, a life you love doesn't mean you're always going to be happy 24/7, but it means that you're actively working on bettering yourself, being more Christ-like, living a healthy lifestyle. And from there, you can learn to love the process. You may not love the moment you're in. You may be in a really unhappy moment, but you can look at it with a new perspective and be like, you know what? I'm going to get through this, and it's going to make me stronger. And one day, you know, Jesus will look at me and He'll be like, wow, I am so proud of you. And He's proud of you now. And one day it will all be worth it. So with that being said, I hope you can just look at your life and really go over these. Like I said, there's always going to be things that you're going to be working on. Like, my habits have been, you know, pretty good from where they were a few years ago, but it took me some time to not check my phone in the morning. It took me some time to make a habit of praying, reading my Bible, journaling every morning. It's not going to be an overnight thing. Maybe it could be, because that can happen too, but for the most part, it's going to take time and it's going to take effort, but that is so worth it, because at the end, you're going to look back and be like, wow, I really did all I could to live a life of love, to create a life of love. Like, I did all I could to better my life and in turn help the people around me. So that was a mouthful. That was a lot to say. I hope that could help. And If you did like today's episode, please like, comment, subscribe if you're on YouTube, follow if you're on the podcast, and we'll see you next time. But until then, and remember this week to ask yourself, you know, who are you becoming as a person? And are you intentional about who you are becoming? With that being said, I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.